Good afternoon, everybody, on the VI Talk channel. It's a long, long, long time since I contributed anything. I can't remember the last time, but I've just been listening to Sophia's blog. Oh, wow, what a moving piece of audio that was. I was in tears, I tell you. What a terrible time she had. I don't know if she listens to this. That's, if you do, Sophia, congratulations on the birth of your daughter, and I'm so glad that you're both doing well now. But what a struggle. I mean, I had a few problems, but wow, oh dear. My niece was born 6 weeks prematurely by C-section because my sister and I both have rhesus negative blood group, and that's not as common as a positive. So the father has a positive blood group, and so she had to have lots of scans and extra blood tests and stuff, because your body produces antibodies because it considers the baby as a foreign body because it's not your blood group, and so it produces antibodies to try and kill it off, basically. So they kept monitoring her closely. I could have had similar issues with mine. I suppose I was lucky. I didn't. She was monitored closely, and she was given the steroid injections to enhance her lungs before the cesarean. And she was born by C-section. She was my sister's third child, so the other two were okay. It doesn't affect all of them. It's usually not the first pregnancy. It's usually following subsequent ones. And she was in the special care baby unit for a couple of weeks, and she was in an incubator. Well, she's fine now. She's 19 now. She's gone on her first holiday with her two friends to Greece. I just want to talk a little bit about my own experiences, because I don't think there's nothing in the world, I don't think, more wonderful than when you go through all that and then you hold your baby at the end of it. I don't think there's anything as lovely as that ever. That's been the highlights of my life. It's all downhill after that, only joking. I've got two sons. One's 22 and my youngest son is going to be 18 on next Tuesday. So we've been reminiscing a bit. We were clearing out some old stuff the other day, and we actually found his baby balloon that someone had got me. It's like a balloon that's made of cellophane. It's blue and it's a boy on it. And we can't believe that it's still blown up after 18 years, as if it had been blown up yesterday. It hasn't started to wilt or go down. And we found all their baby things, like their first pairs of shoes and all that. And it was quite sad, really. And their little, some of their toys that hang on the cot and you pull the string and it plays Brahms' Lullaby and things like that. So we've been thinking, well, I have especially been thinking of when he was born. Because it was a little bit traumatic, not as traumatic as Sophia's experience. My first pregnancy was pretty straightforward. I had a bit of high blood pressure towards the end, and swollen ankles and a bit of anemia, but nothing significant. My son was born exactly a week early. He was due on the 12th of October. He was born on the 5th. Had a pretty normal birth. My waters broke. It was a Sunday night. My waters broke around midnight. They told me to come in. I was in all night with mild labour pains. But with him, I got really bad backache because he must have been pressing on a nerve. And I actually had something. They gave me a small dose of pethidine, and unfortunately that made him get very sleepy, and it made the labour pains actually come to a bit of a standstill. So they had to give me an injection to stimulate my uterus or cervix to start labour pains again. And apparently it's very... I read somewhere not long after that Most women can't bear this without some kind of pain relief. Well, I didn't have any more pain relief because I didn't want any more, because I didn't want him to go to sleep again. It was excruciatingly painful, but I was relieved to have a normal, what they call a normal birth. He weighed 8 pound 2, and I did need stitching afterwards, which was pretty unpleasant. But all my family were around me, my mum, my sister, my husband, who's my now my ex-husband, were all there, and they were all crying, and I was thinking, what are they crying for? But they put, I remember the feel of him when they put him on, you know, they wrapped him up in something, a blanket or something, a sheet, I think it was, and gave him to me. And I just, you know, it's just such a feeling of absolute euphoria, because you've gone through so much. It's not just the actual birth, but everything leading up to it, all the worry, the anxiety, all the appointments, all the discomfort. And then suddenly it's all over, and you've just got this beautiful baby in your arms, and you know that they feel so tiny, although inside you they felt huge. But their little hands and their toes, and you know, I can remember feeling his hair. He had a lot of hair. Both my kids had a lot of hair. I've got a lot of hair, so was their dad. So it wasn't really a surprise that they were born with loads of dark hair. And then 2 years later, he was a planned pregnancy, and 2 years later I had an unplanned one, which finished at 10 weeks, which was very distressing, because although it wasn't planned, the child was wanted. So that was quite traumatic. I'm not going to talk about that now, but anyway, then I wanted to try for another one. I hadn't tried for that one, but it was a nice surprise. But I had a feeling at the beginning of that pregnancy that I don't know what it was, but I felt something said in my mind, you're never going to hold this baby in your arms. I don't know what it was. It was a voice inside me that said it. So I was a bit reluctant to start trying again. I was a bit scared, because with my first son, we started trying for a baby, and I got pregnant the first month. And then I was scared to try. I was so worried that I was going to have another miscarriage. The only thing that comforted me was that the fact that I'd already had one normal pregnancy and normal birth, and that, you know, obviously my body knew how to do it and it could do it. So I started trying for another baby, I think 2 years after I had the... No, about a year and a half after we had the miscarriage. And it took a couple of months this time, I think about three. We started trying in the August, and I fell pregnant in the November. And at the 20-week scan, we had the 13-week scan, everything was fine. At the 20-week scan, they said everything was fine, and they said, did I want to know the sex? And they said it was a boy. I didn't know the sex the first time. I didn't mind what I had, as long as the baby was healthy. Around about 32 weeks, my ankle started to swell. Now, I'd had it a bit with my previous pregnancy, but not the previous one, but the one that went full term. But it wasn't anything as bad as this. And so one Saturday, my husband at the time and older son, who was 4, were going down to a relative's engagement party in Sussex. We live in Kent. And so I said, don't worry, just go without me. And I went to the doctors, and they went off, because I didn't want to disappoint my son, Connor, because he was looking forward to a party. You know what kids are like. So I said, go, I'll be fine. So I went to the doctors. I was 32 weeks pregnant. I sat down in the chair. I said, I'm a bit worried because I've got swollen ankles and it's going up my legs a bit. She went, is there any chance you could be pregnant? Well, 32 weeks, I don't think there's much chance I could have hidden it. But anyway, she sent me straight to the hospital, to the maternity unit, where they kept me in and observed me all day. And my blood pressure was high as well. My blood pressure went down. It wasn't dangerously high, but it was too high. And in the evening, they said I could only go home if there was somebody at home, because... I could collapse if my blood pressure suddenly soared, and I could be very sick. And if I was there on my own, it wouldn't be good. So I went home on the proviso that someone would come and stay with me in the event, something I don't really want to talk about, but my family conned me. My mum was babysitting for my sister. She was going out. But what should have happened, really, I believe, is that my sister should have cancelled her evening out. It was clubbing. It wasn't anything she couldn't have done another time with her friend. So my mum could come and stay with me. But in the end, they kind of... What happened was they... My mum said, I refused to go down there and stay because I wanted to be in my own home, not in with a load of kids. I'm not being funny, but, you know, I needed to be rest and kept quiet. So she said, well, come down for the evening and have a takeaway. When I got down there, she said, you're not going home tonight, you're staying here. I was expected to sleep on the sofa, and then my mum was going to go home like at 11 o'clock. And we had the girl from downstairs who was about 14 who was going to help with the babysitting. But my sister had a baby of a year and another one of two and a son of seven or eight. And I could not face in the morning the thought of all them kids jumping over me. I mean, I love them, don't get me wrong. But so I got really distressed and I got very upset about it. And I said, well, I'm not staying here. So anyway, I lay down on the sofa when my mum went home. She said she had to go home about 11 o'clock. And then my sister got in about 3 or 4. And obviously her friend hadn't been drinking, or whichever one of them hadn't been drinking because they were driving. So I had an argument with them. I insisted they take me home now. So they took me home. And of course, in the morning, the community midwife came round. She took my blood pressure. And of course, it was sky high again. She said, you've got to go straight to the hospital. So I was back up the hospital, which I don't think was necessary if my family had been a bit more considerate. And I don't normally slag them off on here, but that's been something that upset me a lot over the years when I thought about it. I was in hospital for 2 days, being monitored and, you know. And then they sent me home and I was okay. Pregnancy went on, you know, I was fine and everything was okay. Now, my son, the second son, was born 11 days early. Pretty much the same thing happened again. The waters broke on a Sunday night. But this time they told me that I was due to go up there later on the Monday anyway, so just to go in the stay at home till the morning and then go in. But what happened prior to that was at about... So he was born at like 38 and a half weeks. At about 37 weeks, I really didn't feel well this day. I felt so unwell. I had a thumping headache and I just felt so out of it. And my sister took me to the hospital and I knew that they were going to keep me in, which they did, because my blood pressure was very high. I had protein in my urine. My ankles were swollen. They put me on a monitor and the baby's heartbeat was very fast. And so I was in hospital for a week. I got quite distressed over it. My blood pressure fluctuated. It went up and down. At one point in the night, they had to come around and check it in the night. At one point, it got to something really high, which frightened the life out of me when she told me. She was like, that can't be right. I think it's the machine. So she went and got another one and it was still high. So she had to bleep for the duty doctor to come. This was like 3 o'clock in the morning and I was really scared because, you know, I didn't have a mobile. It was before the days of mobile phones. My husband had one, but I didn't have one. And I was in the hospital and I thought, am I going to die? Is the baby going to die? They gave me some medicine, that the tablets that go under your tongue, they're absorbed into your body through your underneath the tongue. And they stayed with me and it gradually came down a bit. And then after a week, it was still high, but I was becoming more distressed because every day my husband came to see me or my family came to see me and they brought my other little boy in and I missed him and I wanted to go home. And I couldn't just get up and walk around the hospital like someone who can see, you know. And I had friends come in and see me and they took me for a walk out in the garden and whatever. But I was becoming very distressed. So they said to me, it was a Thursday. I'd gone in on the previous Thursday. And they said, okay. I asked them if they can they not just induce the baby? And they said, well, we can do, but it doesn't always work. And they put like a pessary inside you. And the doctor examined me, and he said, well, you're probably, your uterus, your cervix isn't ready yet. Towards the end of the pregnancy, you secrete hormones that soften the neck of the womb so that it's pliable to open for the birth process. And so a consultant examined me, and he said, well, actually, you are ready. Your uterus is ready, but we'd rather not induce you. We'd rather, your baby be born when it's ready to be born. So they wouldn't do it. And so I wasn't in a room of my own. I was in with three other people, which had, they had various problems as well, different things to me, but I can't even remember now. So then they came to me on the Thursday, and they said, look, we've come to the conclusion that keeping you here is a bit of a double-edged sword, because you're becoming distressed, and in turn that's putting your blood pressure up. So we will let you go home on the proviso that every weekday until you give birth, you come to the day assessment unit to be monitored, the baby's heartbeat to be monitored, your blood pressure to be taken. So I said, okay, I agreed to that. So I went home on the Thursday. As soon as I got home, there was a big stress, because my son, in my absence, had got crayons, and he had scribbled all over the window, all over the TV screen, and all the worst thing of all over my ex-husband's very expensive stereo speakers, all over the fabric front. And luckily, my friend at the time, who was a teacher at his school, managed to help me get all of the crayoning off everywhere, because my husband, he was blind as well, so he didn't see it and he didn't know it had been done. I think it was just my son's way of being distressed because I wasn't there. So it was one of the speakers, actually, that he'd done it on. And so she managed, what we did, luckily he never found out till a lot later, she was able to take the front of it off. And we knew that he'd notice a difference in the sound. And I didn't mean to be deceitful. It's just that I didn't want to get stressed out again. I knew he'd absolutely blow his top, because his stereo was his pride and joy. Believe me, he had all separates. It wasn't some like cheap music centre. He had all these separates and these expensive speakers. And I just didn't tell him. And I thought, I've come out of hospital, and you know, I don't want to end up straight back in there. And I was stressed out enough when we came in, and they went when they saw what had happened. So she took the front of the speaker off, and we got a towel, a big like bath towel, and we put it over the front so that it kind of deadened the sound a bit, as it would with the material. And she took it home that night, and she used a toothbrush, because it's very intricate, the front of a speaker. It's got lots of little holes, obviously. And she cleaned it and brought it back the next day and put it on. It was as good as new. So the next day, my son and I went to the day assessment unit. We went on the bus with my guide dog. And it was a very hot day because it was August. He was born on the 11th of August. So this was the 8th of August. So it's nearly coming up for the 18th anniversary tomorrow. It was a Friday, the 8th of August, and we went into the day assessment unit, and I sat down in an armchair, and they put the monitor on me to try and listen to the baby's heart, and I could hear mine, whoosh, 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 whoosh. I was listening for the sound of a very fast heartbeat, and she couldn't find it, and she was moving the thing around. Then she went, and I started to get a bit anxious, and she went and got the portable one, and again the same thing. No little fast heartbeat. She went, hold on a minute, I'll just go and get the old-fashioned trumpet. So she went and got that, and I said, I was sitting in a chair, it was a kind of like a reclining chair, but whenever I'd been on the monitor before, I'd been laying down. And I said to her, is it better if I lay down? Because that's normally what I do. And she said, no, no, no. So she was listening with the trumpet, and she said, I can't find anything. Has the baby moved recently? And I said, well, This was like lunchtime. I said, well, he did move this morning. I felt him move today. And then I said, you don't think the baby's dead, do you? And she said, I hope not, darling. And I in that instant, I saw my empty pram, because I'd got a new pram. My friend's husband had adapted it for me so I could tow it. I saw the empty pram and I saw the wardrobe in my mind's eye with all these little outfits hanging up, never to be worn. It flashed before my eyes and I was sweating and I was so stressed out. And she said, okay, I'm just going to go and get one of my colleagues. So she went off, just leaving me. And all of a sudden, I thought kind of there was a TV in there with like the Teletubbies or some kind of children's programs on. And I thought he was over there glued to it. All of a sudden, there was this little voice. Mummy, do you want a drink of water? Your face is really red. And I said, oh, yes, please. That's exactly what I wanted. No one else thought, you know, this woman, she was probably worried herself, but no one thought of how I was feeling, really. I was shaking all over. I was literally shaking all over. And then he went and got me a drink of water out the machine. It's like ice cold water. And he came back and he gave it to me and he went, in the meantime, when he went to get the drink of water, I think what happened was she said she's going to go and get somebody. And then when she came back, they told me to lay down. And as soon as I lay down, they found the heartbeat. Now, that, to me, was the most wonderful sound I've ever heard, because I'd actually really started to think that he died. And the enormity of having to give birth to a stillborn child is absolutely horrific. It's unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable. And after that, she said, I better go, your blood pressure is going to be sky high now. I better go off and leave you for a while. And she just went and left me. She didn't even say sorry. I mean, I know it wasn't her fault, but I did suggest laying down, and she said no. So anyway, that's when he kind of came over and he went, do you want a drink, mummy? Would you like a drink of water? Your face is really red. And he went and got me a drink of water and he came back and he said, you thought the baby had died, didn't you? And I thought, I didn't think he was aware of any of it that was going on. And I know it probably wasn't the right place to take him, but to be honest, my husband was at work and I had no one else, I had no one to leave him with. I didn't have a choice. Anyway, I didn't go home on the bus. I got a taxi home. I had to sit there for about an hour before my blood pressure became anything that was acceptable for them to allow me to go home. And after that, it was the most strange feeling. It was almost like, it's not like he had died, but it's almost like I'd glimpsed the feeling that he had of him dying, and I couldn't relax. I couldn't be easy in my mind. From that day, the next day, I had a friend come to stay for the weekend, and I couldn't relax. I just kept thinking of that feeling. I just kept reliving that feeling when she said, I hope not, darling. And I thought, and I saw all those things flash before my eyes, and I was paranoid about him moving. I think on the Sunday night, I was due to go back on the Monday. On the Sunday night, I know this sounds disgusting, but seeing as we're talking about birth, it's not exactly... it can be a bit graphic. I passed the mucus plug, which is in the uterus to keep infection out and obviously everything else in, when I went to the toilet. So I knew it wasn't going to be long. And then I went to bed. It was a Sunday night again, just like with Connor. In fact, the weird thing is my sister's eldest child, exactly the same thing happened with her. Her waters broke on a Sunday night at midnight. Her son was born the following morning, and by two, my waters broke on a Sunday night, and they were both born on a Monday. Well, actually, it was Monday morning. I got up to go to the toilet in the night, and my waters broke as I walked across the bedroom floor. And we rang the hospital, my husband rang the hospital, and they said, come in, you're due to come in anyway, just come in. So I went in, someone looked after my son, because it was school holidays anyway, but he hadn't started school yet. And I went to hospital with my mum. We went in a taxi, and I was I'd put a towel on a pad, but I was leaking stuff everywhere. And I said, "Oh dear, I hope it doesn't leak in the taxi." And we went up, and we went to the labour ward, and I just settled in, put all my stuff in the locker and everything, and then I went to the toilet. My mum came in with me, and she said, "There's green coming out." And I was like, "Oh God, that means the baby's in distress." So we went back and we buzzed the emergency thing, and then one of the nurses came. I said, "You know, I've just been to the toilet and there's like green stuff coming out." And that was it. She put me in a wheelchair and she ran. She must be some fit woman. She ran with me all the way down the corridor to the maternity unit, you know, to the delivery unit. And I was put on a monitor. This was like about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and by the time all this happened, and I just, my mum had to go off somewhere. My husband was at work, so I was just there on my own. But I was all right. It was the hottest day of the year, so I had a fan on in the room. It was the hottest day of the year so far, and I just passed the time listening to music. I had the hospital radio station on, and I didn't really do anything. I just lay there, and the pains weren't that bad. You know, they were just coming, and, you know, like they do. And then the second stage of labour really kicked in the evening, I think, probably about 6:30. My labour with my first son was about 14 hours. With this one, it was, well, they started it, they counted it from about 6:30, so it was about 3.5 hours. And it was probably more intense. I didn't have any pain relief this time. When I'm in labour, that's never going to happen again. But what I mean, when I was in labour, both times I was very quiet. I don't know why, I just went like someone had put a silencer on me, which is probably a good thing. And I was very introspective. I was thinking a lot, thinking. And I think I just saved up. I didn't want to talk, and I just saved all my energy for dealing with the pain. And one of the midwives or nurses who had been looking after me when I'd been in hospital on the two previous occasions when they'd kept me in, she came to see me, and she said, to my family, "You would never believe this lady's in labour," because she could see the contractions on the monitor. And, you know, she could see that they were really big ones. And she said, "You would never believe this lady's in labour," because I was just so calmly laying there going, "Oh, yeah." And then about 10:15, they told me that I'd need to have a paediatrician at the birth. I didn't with my first son, but they said I needed one because he'd become distressed, and the stuff that came out, the green stuff, is actually him emptying his bowels. And when that happens, they have to have a doctor there to clear the airways when the child is born. So I started to get the really, I think it was when the head went down, it was so painful. I wanted to bite something. It was so painful. I would have bitten the iron back of the bed if I could have done, and probably broken all my teeth. And my sister gave me my rag doll. She shoved it in my face, and she shoved her squashy head in my face. And I said, "I can't bite her." I refused to bite her, even though I was in absolute agony by this stage. And I did think afterwards, a really good thing would have been, if I'd have ever had any more children, I would have done this, is to have like a new, obviously not a used one, dog's rubber ring. Because, or a rubber toy, a long rubber toy or rubber ring you could just bite into, just bite down on it. Because when you're in that much pain, I think it's a reflex is to bite. And I didn't want to bite anybody, even the rag doll. So they said, "Oh yes, that means when they could see me in so much pain, the midwife that was with me said, "Yes, that means the head's gone down." Because I think that when you have your first child, the head engages like quite a while before it's born, but with the second one, it goes down as just before it's born. So that I felt his head go through my pelvic bone, I actually felt it go through the pelvis. And it was excruciating. The only way I can describe it, when the head goes down like that, or it's like having a football, someone putting a football up your backside. I mean, I know that's crude, but that is literally what it feels like. I can still feel the feeling of it now, all these years later. And she said, I've got to bleep for the doctor now. So she bleeped for a doctor, and the doctor came. I think it was a man. I can't really remember now, but I didn't scream or make a noise. I think I went, oh, a bit like that, like growling kind of thing, just with the pushing. And I remember them saying, but come on, push. And I said, I can't, because I was, you know, tired from all the pain. I said, I can't do it. And they said, yes, you can. And he came out much quicker than the first one, my first son. And he flew out. And then they took him straight, before they gave him to me, they took him straight away to the other side of the room. And I could hear him saying, come on, breathe now, come on. And I was going, oh no, is everything all right? Is he okay? Of course he was. And he was born at 9:09 at night. And my other son had been born at 2:27 in the afternoon. And he was 8 pounds 7, this one, which is good job he was a little bit early. He was 11 days early, otherwise he would have been well over 9 pounds, I should think. So I didn't need any stitches that time, thankfully. And everything went fine with him. But my blood pressure was okay when I was giving birth. They kept an eye on it, of course. But afterwards, it was really sky high again. I had to go on tablets for 3 months. And they believe now that I've got end-stage kidney disease. I am doing dialysis 4 times a day and potentially going to have a transplant. And they believe that the beginning of this was probably during that pregnancy where I had a lot of high blood pressure. There is a tendency for it in my family. My mum suffered with it as well. And she had exactly the same problems as me in pregnancy with my sister, who was the second one. They didn't advise me not to have any more kids. They advised her not to have any more. I never had any more, but it wasn't because of that. It was because he wasn't a difficult baby, but he was a very difficult toddler. So different to the first one. The first one was very good, and he was a handful. And I just didn't think. I kept thinking when the time's right. There never seemed to be a right time, so it was probably not meant to be. And I did regret it. I wanted more, you know, because I enjoyed being pregnant, and I love being a mum, you know, looking after the babies, playing with their toys, teaching them to read. I miss all that now, and I look back on it with great nostalgia. So good luck with all your the joys of motherhood, Sophia, and thank you for giving me this opportunity to have a trip down memory lane, because us mothers, we always like to talk about our birth and give all the gory details. Anyway, thanks for listening to anybody who did, and I'll speak to you all soon. Bye for now. Dominoes. Reply. Plus. Button. Plus.
Time remaining. VI talk. Time remaining. 26 minutes and 26 seconds. Talk. Swipe down with 3 finger. VI talk.